We're doing Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Lamed Zayin Amud Beis in the standard editions. And the Gemara had brought a machlokas about when was the Torah given, on the 6th of Sivan or on the 7th of Sivan. Now the Gemara brings a Tanai quote. Toshma, come hear the following proof. Shishi, it says in the Torah, on the 6th day. What does it mean, the 6th day? Shishi b'chodesh. Shishi b'shabbat. 6th of the month, 6th day of the week. Kashal Rabbanan. That's difficult, according to Rabbanan, because then it would seem that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, if the 6th of the month is a Friday. Then the first of the month, Rosh Chodesh, was on Sunday. And Rabbanan had said the first of the month was on Shabbos. And says the Gemara, Hanami Rabbi Yossi. You're right. The rabbis would say this is Rabbi Yossi's opinion. He really holds that that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday. Ask the Gemara, Shishi Lemai. When we say sixth, what does that mean? Sixth of what? From where are you counting? Answers the Gemara, well, what would the rabbis say? If they're saying that the sixth, on the sixth day, the Torah was given, and yet the rabbis say it was on the seventh, so why is it called the sixth? Ah, say the rabbi, Shishi Lechaniyatan. It's counting 6 days from when they camped. They camped. It says Vayivayoma Shishi. What's the sixth day? The sixth day from when they camped, which was, according to Rabbi Yossi, also the sixth of the month, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it was also the sixth day of the week. Okay. Vekamiflege b'Shabbat emara, and Rav Acha and Rava, their argument revolves around the question of what happened in Mara. It says in the second set of tablets, Shamor et Yom HaShabbat leKadosho, watch over the day of Shabbos to sanctify it, Kashel Tzivicha, as Hashem commanded you. When did Hashem command you? What does that mean, past tense? Kashel Tzivicha. So from here we understand, from here we infer, that they were already commanded about Shabbos before the Ten Commandments. How so? So Rav Yehuda says, when we camped, we left Egypt, we crossed the Yamsuf, and then we came to a place called Mara. It says, they could not drink the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. So Chazal say, the continuation of the Pasuk is, Sham Samlo Chok U'Mishpat V'Sham Nisau. Over there at Mara, Hashem gave them Chok U'Mishpat. Hashem gave them statutes, Hashem gave them laws. Moshe taught them a bunch of concepts of Judaism. What did he teach them at Mara? Sorry. What did Moshe Rabbeinu teach them at Mara? So the simple reading of the text is, you have a bunch of slaves who just got out of servitude, so you got to set up some kind of legal system, otherwise everyone's going to be robbing everything from everyone else. So that's the simple reading. Chazal say no. It says, Sham Sam No Chok. Over there he gave them statutes. Which statutes or sages say at Mara, Moshe Rabbeinu taught the laws of the red cow, Parah Aduma. They just came out of Egypt. He teaches them the laws of how to purify themselves, Parah Aduma. Some intricate laws that we have a hard time understanding. Yep. Umishpat, yeah?
So when was the first Parah Aduma?
Later, way later.
Way later, right?
Yeah.
That was the one that they wanted to teach?
Okay, so that's concept number one. He taught them Parah Aduma. Concept number two, he taught them Shabbos. Concept number three, he taught them honor your parents. So he taught them three mitzvot. Why these three? Can you help me out, guys? Why would these three be so important? No, what do you say? No, what's unique about these three? Parah Aduma, no?
It's pure. Makes no rational sense for Parah Aduma. You can't figure it out yourself.
Oh.
You can figure out Kibbutz Av Eim by yourself.
Yeah, but that's why the three
something that continues. Maybe something that's good for the nation in terms of a survival standpoint. Respecting your parents makes you a stronger people.
Oh, okay. Right. So, Rav Hirschel Schacht, I think he says it from Rav Salvechik. He says these are three components they needed to survive that every Jew and every chozer b'tshuva and every convert has to learn. Number one, there's tradition. Honor your parents. Honoring your parents is about, I'm learning from them. I honor them. They're not just a group of people. I am the family I happen to be born into. So that's honoring our parents. That's Kibbut Aveim. What else does he teach them? What was the next mitzvah?
Paraduma.
Shabbos. He teaches them the idea that even when you're productive, the Torah is going to tell you when yes, and the Torah is going to tell you when no, and you have to rest, you have a Shabbos. And then he teaches them Paraduma.
Sometimes it's above your logic.
Some things you won't understand.
It's one of the
concepts that every person has to come to terms with. You're going to learn, there's a tradition, and there are things that are bigger than us, there are things we just don't understand, and we respect them anyways. And that was the important concept of Paraduma. The concept that, yeah, there are things we learn and don't understand. When children will ask you, it's very tempting to explain to a child. You want them to understand. And sometimes the answer is, because I said so. And it's important for the kid to hear, yes, you don't understand, and you're still going to have to do it. It's an important concept in life. I have to do things even though I don't always understand them. There are things I have to respect even though I don't understand them. So, coming back to here, so our discussion is, what did Moshe teach them about Shabbos? Now, in Tractate Shabbos, we have a few applications of what you need to know about Shabbos. So we know you have to know all of Shabbos, but let's ask another question. In order to attain the holiness of Shabbos, is it enough that I know about making Kiddush? Alitu Chalas! Is that called, I know about Shabbos? I eat my challahs. A person once said to his friend, you know, I get home from work, I honor Shabbos, I get ready, I take a shower, I shave. And then at night, we sit down for the Shabbos meal, and I light two candles. So he doesn't realize you're not allowed to light fire on Shabbos, right? He means to light in honor of Shabbos. He doesn't know. So when we speak about Shabbos, it's not enough to know the proactive. I'm a Jew at heart. I celebrate Shabbat. I sit with the family for a Shabbat dinner. That's very nice. Yeah, but there are prohibitions. And we say that the prohibitions are where we connect to the holiness. It's not enough to do all the positive things. There's also things I don't do on Shabbos. And that's where I start connecting to the holiness of Shabbos. When I don't turn on a light.
Why? Because anybody could do the good things.
No, that's the way Shabbos works. There's you want to get from the holiness of Shabbos. It's not enough to do the proactive. You have to do the prohibitions as well. The prohibitions are key.
Are stronger connections than
they're a different connection.
Okay.
So over here, their argument is when they were taught about Shabbos in this place called Marah, it says, in the Ten Commandments, obey the Shabbos, adhere to the laws of Shabbos, kasher tzivecha Hashem Elokecha, as Hashem your God already commanded you. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Rabbi Huda, the son of Rabbi Yecheskel, said in the name of Rav, kasher tzivecha, what does it mean in the Ten Commandments, obey Shabbos as Hashem already commanded you? That's talking about Marah. That back in Marah, you already learned about Shabbos. Mal Sava, one opinion says, Ashabat ifkud, atchumin lo ifkud. In Marah, Moshe told them about the prohibitions of Shabbos, but he did not tell them the limitations of how far you could walk. We know, on Shabbos we have a mitzvah of tchumin. Tchumin is, outside the city, I'm not allowed to walk more than 2,000 footsteps. So at Marah, Moshe Rabbeinu taught them Shabbos, but he did not teach them the concept of how far you may travel. So that's why that opinion holds that they did travel on Shabbos. They didn't yet have that commandment. So we can say that they arrived, the opinion that says they arrived on Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh was Shabbos. How could you do that? How were they traveling on Shabbos? The answer is, they weren't yet commanded not to travel on Shabbos. Even though at Marah he taught them about Shabbos, he did not yet teach them the limitation of not traveling more than 2,000 amos. They were not yet held accountable for that. Another opinion holds they were also responsible for Tchumin, and as such they could not have traveled on Shabbos, which means they showed up on the first of the month into, or it wasn't on Shabbos when they showed up into Rephidim, traveling from Rephidim to the desert of Sinai. Yes?
Would that be the only thing that God did not teach? Because then you also have Hotza. But would that be the only thing that he didn't teach?
I don't know if in the Jews' time in the desert, where they were traveling, would be considered public domain. When they camped...
Well, they didn't have the...
I'm saying when they camped, a desert is ordinarily a caramelist. It's a rabbinic prohibition, which they didn't prohibit yet in Moshe's time. So the only problem was when they would camp, because then their main street running up and down the camp would be Rishus HaRabim. Sometimes they spent a decade in the same place. So then the public street was Rishus HaRabim. But when they were traveling, I don't know that, I don't know if the rest of the desert when they were traveling would be considered Rishus HaRabim. Because they're traveling there once. How could that make it Rishus HaRabim? We assume Rishus HaRabim is where the masses go every day. I'm not aware of that being. The Gemara says, when Am Yisrael was in the desert, then the desert was Rishus HaRabim. I think what the Gemara means is, where Am Yisrael was situated, that was Rishus HaRabim, not the rest of the desert. Yes?
It sounds like there's a lot of, at least an element of Parah Adamah in everything. Because, you know, even like all the laws of Shabbos, it's not so simple, you know, to understand the whys of every single thing. And, you know, there's this element of we have this tradition and, you know, and even something that would seem simple, like honoring parents, it depends sometimes who the parents are. Some can be very hard to honor. So it seems that that's a big amount. Yet, we still have to, you know, try to the best of our ability to understand. That's huge. It's not like, you know, some other religions that only the priest is supposed to know. Anyway,
yeah. We'll start the next Gemara. We got 2 minutes. So we'll start. Tino Tashma. Another proof. Nisan Shebo Yitzu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. The Jews leave Egypt in the month of Nisan. So that year, how did it fall out? Biyudalid on the 14th, Shachtu Pischehem. They slaughtered their Paschal offerings. And technically we call it the Yom Tov of Pesach. Really it has two names. Chag HaMatzos and Chag HaPesach. Pesach is the offering which is brought the day before the holiday. And Chag HaMatzos, the holiday of eating matzah, begins that night when we have the Seder, when we eat the matzah. But the Paschal offering was really brought the day before we eat the matzah. If we eat the matzah on the night of the 15th, the night that's the beginning of the 15th, well, we slaughter the Paschal offering on the 14th. So on the 14th, they slaughtered their Paschal offerings. And on the 15th they left. And the evening, that's when the firstborn were hit. You think it literally means that evening? It means the previous evening. The evening in between the 14th and the 15th, that's when the firstborn were hit. And that day was a Thursday, the day the Jews would leave Egypt. It would be the fifth day of the week. Now if you do the math, if the 15th is on a Thursday, then Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on Shabbos. And then you do the math, 28 days, the 29th day. And then you have the next Rosh Chodesh. So then, Reish Yarcha de Sivan, Chag B'Shabbat. The first day of Rosh Chodesh of the next month is going to be on a Sunday. Kasher Rabbanan, then how could the rabbi say that Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos? We just did the math. If the 15th was on a Thursday, so then add another 14 days till the end of the month. So then, Rosh Chodesh Iyar is going to be on a Shabbos, and then Rosh Chodesh Sivan will end up being on a Sunday. So how could the rabbi say Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos? And that's where we'll pick up Bezrat Hashem next week. What did we learn today?
Jewish history.
We learned an argument about whether it was the sixth day of the month, the sixth day of the week when they received the Torah. We said we also have an argument about whether they traveled on Shabbos after they left Mara. Were they also given the mitzvah of limiting their travel on Shabbos? We discussed the three mitzvot they received in Mara. What were they? Right, that's why one of the Semiros on Shabbos says that they were commanded at Mara, the statutes, the laws of Shabbos. And then we learned that in the month of Nisan that they left Mitzrayim, they left on the 15th. They slaughtered the Paschal offerings on the 14th, they left on the 15th, and then we asked, it seems obvious in that case that the first of the month of Sivan was on a Sunday, not on a Shabbos. So how did the rabbis deal with that apparent contradiction? That's where we left off.